Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the USA, indeed. Good evening to you all. A hearty hello to all of our listeners out there. Some are Space Force Rangers. A great big shout out to all you patriots listening in. We got some MAGAs and a couple of Anons or two, perhaps, and a great big thank you. Welcome to MAGA Monday here on NatsRoom Network. It's December 3rd, 2018. Ooh, we are getting on in the month, but we are broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. And I am your host, Leander Grace, guys. It's good to be back with you here today. We had to take a couple of days off, had some mundane things to do, and at the top of the program, I am going to ask for a little bit of prayer for all of those of you who are prayer warriors. I got a little bit of a friend of mine here, four legs and furry. He's not feeling real good. He's on my lap during the broadcast. Got a little bit of an unexplained rash we're trying to work on, but it's making him feel absolutely miserable. He's cone-headed and all the whole stuff, so just a shout-out to all of those who have a prayer life and a little bit of a habit with that. If you could just lift my little furry friend Cody up for some healing for this little bit of health thing that he's got on. He is employed. He is in service, and I miss him being at the top of his game. But we'll get him through that. So I wanted to go ahead and bring you in on that. Might be a little bit too much information, too much personal information, but he is near and dear to my heart, and the world kind of revolves around him some days. So it's good to be back with you all, guys, on this Magic MAGA Monday, rather, right here on NatsRoom Network. We continue to hold that space of peace, love, and grace. Continuing in solidarity of mission as the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. We're going to talk about that tonight, folks. We're going to talk about that throughout the program because, as our title of tonight's program is, the whole world is watching by the numbers. And we're going to take it down by the numbers tonight. We've got lots of numbers to put out there. Some of them make sense, some of them might not. Of course, all of you guys know by now that we do have the President George H.W. Bush, past president, laid to rest in the Capitol Rotunda, or actually laying in state at the Capitol Rotunda. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. It's a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of the one thing. We're going to be shining a light into that dark place, guys, and maybe into some of the faces of your favorites. I'm not going to hold much back. And a little bit of controversy might come up on the program tonight. Remember, patriots, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, we love you too. Question everything. We're not part of the mainstream media, and that's a blessing tonight. So don't take my word, but research what you hear tonight. Guys, we've got some stuff going on. Now, last week we talked about the emotional orchestra of the world stage and how things are being set up for everybody to feel a certain way about certain things, and that's kind of falling through the cracks there, guys. Let's go ahead and go to the first part of the topic. We're going to talk about a lot. We're going to talk about headlines. We're going to talk about all the rest. Guys, all through the weekend and even this evening, we've got mainstream media wailing and tailing about the passing of the 41st President of the United States of America. And that same media, the companies as well as the personalities that took him to task and nearly tanned his hide and tried to make him look like a fool while he was sitting in the Oval Office, not that he's my hero, he definitely is not, but for the sake of the family, we show respect. You know, the same mainstream media is fawning over him like he was the best thing since sliced bread, but when he's sitting in the Oval Office, they didn't have anything good to say. And I just want to point out that bit of hypocrisy. We're going to talk about hypocrisy tonight on the program. I am up to my ears and my eyeballs done with the hypocrisy of the emotional orchestra going on the world stage, people trying to get into the ingratiating stuff. Somebody passes, and now all of a sudden everybody wants to don that little talking head of, oh, he was this, oh, he was that. But when they were talking about him when he was alive and making a difference in doing things, whether I agreed with them or not, or whether I care for him or not as an individual, he was president of the United States, and they absolutely disrespected him at every turn. Now, there are some credits that are going to him that I don't think credit is due. He didn't bring the wall down. That was President Reagan. He might have been working behind the scenes to do it, but President Reagan is the one who did that. There was some other things that he was able to do. I'm not going to be phony about my feelings and my state of mind about President George H.W. Bush. There's a lot of history that has gone on. That history doesn't go away just because he's passed away, and I'm not going to pretend that it does, because remember, guys, on this program, it is time to stop pretending. We had that as one of the program titles. I'm not going to pretend that he was all of that in my eyes. There might be a lot of praise that's going out, but it's not going to come from me. Did he accomplish a lot of things? Yes, he was very accomplished, but I don't necessarily agree with his accomplishments in the way that he did them. I just, you know, I'm not going to pretend, and I'm not going to put on a show, and I'm not going to say, oh, poor little. I am going to say my condolences to the family for their loss, and I'm going to leave it there, because anything more would be hypocritical on my part, and I'm not going to play that game. I'm not even going to play it one time. I don't care for the gentleman. He passed away. We're going to give the family time to grieve. The timing is inexplicable. Enough said about that. Now, guys, we do have a lot of stuff to get to tonight. We're going to be talking about the whole by the numbers. And as we have it itemized there on the Blog Talk Radio homepage here of the NatStream Network, we're going to talk about the G20 summit. We're going to talk about the 19 that disagree, 3+ riots, 41 rests, 43 mourns, 6,000 retreat, 44 spouts and spouse, and then 45 the art of dealing with truth. That's where we're at tonight. We've got a 90-minute broadcast. I was going to go ahead and shorten it to an hour simply because of a little bit of an energy thing and the needs of my little service guy over here. You know, he's having a rough night, having a rough day. But we're going to go ahead and go forward with the topics that we have to talk about. Now, let's go ahead and talk about some of the other headlines first before we get into the meat and the taters of it, so to speak. You know, we talked last night about Khashoggi and Turkey and NATO, all of that. Let's talk about a little bit about the G20 as we talk about this going forward. And I just want to talk a little bit about first some systemic headlines, some systemic things that are occurring. And one of the headlines comes from Life News, lifenews.com, and that is the fact that a Methodist pastor, supposedly Christian, supposedly knowing the scriptures, supposedly knowing right from wrong rather than easier and convenient, a Methodist pastor justifies abortion by saying unborn babies have original sin. I want to tell you something, that pastor is full of hooey and a whole lot of other smelly stuff. We have got supposedly Christian pastors, supposedly those who follow Yeshua, justifying abortion, justifying the killing of the unborn. And what is it that God said? I knew you, I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you before your first breath. Something like that. It's a paraphrase. That's the intent of the scripture. Folks, we're alive when we're alive. God forms us in the womb. And abortion is a despicable way to end an inconvenience. It is a life. And we as individuals, and we as a nation, as far as we allow it, will be held in account. Mark my words. So we've got these supposed Methodist pastors, supposed follower of Christ, because if this is his attitude, if this is the attitude of that pastor, saying that it's okay to abort babies because they have original sin, then it's okay to kill your child at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of age because they have original sin and have no idea how to formulate and conceptualize the idea of God's sin and salvation. This is probably the most abhorrent thing, aside from Frank who gives me a sick headache and Georgie Porgy Pudding Pie, has ever came out of a supposed Christian's mouth. I can't even believe it. I can't even believe it. And I just think it's absolutely abhorrent. Something else that I find absolutely abhorrent is in Ireland today, they announced, they had a meeting there and then announced to the physicians that they were going to have to, they were by law going to be required by law in Ireland to participate in aborting babies. They're taking the choice away and saying if you don't, they're calling it a medical procedure. No. What's going on, people? Why are we all of a sudden starting to say it's okay to kill kids? What is wrong with the population? Is it too big or is it too stupid? I'm not pulling punches tonight. I am not pulling any. It is ignorant. It is ignorant of us to think that we have any right to force somebody, anybody, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, doesn't matter, to force anybody into an act that they disagree with. That's not liberty. That's tyranny. And speaking of tyranny, in Europe now, they are now creating laws that saying that criticism of migration itself is set to become a criminal offense. Criticism of a thing is now going to become a criminal offense. When is it going to be illegal for me to say, I don't like vanilla ice cream? When is it going to become illegal or a criminal offense for me to say anything? Who gets to decide what I get to say? I'm so grateful and so blessed to have been born into this United States of America where in theory and now in practice we are reclaiming our liberty and our right to free speech. Folks are starting to say things like hate speech is not protected speech. What other speech are we going to protect except that speech which others do not want to hear? It is the speech that others do not want to hear that needs to be protected. Because it wasn't very long ago, just a couple hundred years ago, that's not very long ago in the grand scheme of things, that John Adams himself came under criminal offenses or at least was attacked because he was reading the Constitution in the town square. And they didn't want to hear it. So this is not a new battle, free speech. But to curb it and say that you're not allowed to say that? Now, the government can't take action, but what's happening with the media and the rest of the social pressures is if you say something other people don't like, they're going to hound you and they're going to pound you with peer pressure and hate speech or hateful slurs. Hateful slurs. For instance, there's a couple. I can't even remember where they're from. But anyway, it was a husband and wife team, and they're wearing T-shirts that say, I'm an ex-Muslim. Ask me why. Isn't that a wonderful T-shirt to see? I'm an ex-Muslim. Ask me why. And what's going on with this couple who says, I'm an ex-Muslim. Ask me why. Is they're being kicked out of public places wearing those T-shirts. Isn't that insane? This is going on in the United States of America. In the United States of America. They want to spread the word about why they made the decision to step out of Islam. And they're catching flack for it. So much for free speech. But it's the government who cannot infringe. Private enterprises can. Private enterprises can say, you know, choose not to serve anybody that they choose. So what is the shape of things? What's going on with that? I just leave that to you to answer the question. It's rhetorical. It's rhetorical. So then we go ahead and come on up. And speaking of, I'm an ex-Muslim, ask me why. Let's go ahead and go forward into what's going on in Germany. In Germany, they have the Christmas market, and once again, the German Christmas market has been threatened by a man shouting Allahu Akbar, which is, you know, their little battle cry just before they get stupid and attack something. Yeah, I'm saying it, guys. I am done dancing around the topic of the fact that Islam, those who follow Islam, are refusing to integrate into the societies that have been so gracious to take them in. They're not assimilating, they're infiltrating, and they're trying to make life hell. It's no different there than it is here. We're seeing the same thing. We've got at least three Mohammedans that were voted into office in this election cycle. All three of them support Hamas. All three of them want to see Israel driven into the sea. All three of them have criminal offenses that nobody will prosecute, and the people know about it. It's disgusting what's going on in our country. It's not just a two-tiered, it's a three, four, five-tiered justice system that we're seeing. Why are people afraid to prosecute the criminal actions of someone just because they bow down to the false prophet Muhammad? I don't get it. They have a right to do that, but they don't have a right to break our laws and expect us to eat it. Breaking our laws in our face, lying in public on purpose, and when they're called out, not answering to it. That's insane. And that's how it began in the UK. And now the UK seems to be run under Sharia law. They have Sharia courts set up there. And I thank God that in 1952 we have an anti-Sharia law passed. It cannot be practiced in this country. We have a constitution. That is our law. And even as far as some of their practices of female genital mutilation, women activists were horrified. Judges are dismissing cases, criminal child abuse cases. Female genital mutilation of children is not being paid attention to in our nation. This must stop. There's not one justice system for those who like Islam and those who are of the United States. If that's the case, they need to go back to Islam and practice their law in their country, their way. If they're in their country doing it their way, that's fine. But they're coming over here trying to bring their laws and their customs, refusing to assimilate. That's not okay. You say, well, Anna Grace, you sound racist. Nope, Islam is not a race. It's a political system disguised as a religion. There's no religion in it. Radical Islam has no place in the United States of America. Period. End of file. That's the way it is. But we do have hope. I do want to come in after all of that. I do want to make a mention of Hanukkah. It is the second night of Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah for all those of you who celebrate it. I celebrate it myself as well. Second night of Hanukkah. There's scriptures to read and all the stuff. Hanukkah by Judas Maccabeus. We're going to talk about a little bit about that on Holistic Truth on Wednesday. I'm going to talk a lot about Hanukkah. We're going to talk a lot about the Maccabees themselves. But for tonight, I want to mention another hammer that comes into the headlines, another hammer in our history, and that is Charles the Hammer Martel. Charles the Hammer Martel in 732 AD at the Battle of Tours in France annihilated the Umayyad Caliphate, and he became the champions, quote-unquote, champion of Christianity. I have a couple of other things to add to that on a Wednesday night when we talk about it in detail, the hammers and all of the rest, but I do want to give a shout-out to all of my Judaic friends, those who are celebrating Hanukkah tonight. It is an amazing season of miracles. This is the time when we know we're not alone. Dark comes to light. And that's what we'll be doing for the rest of the week. We're going to be shining a light into the dark place. We might even be on every night this week. I'm going to pray about it. It has to do with the way my mundane things have to go during the day. And then, of course, my energy level as well. I do want to go ahead and say, you know, a shout out to those of you who sent me some emails. I'm not going to be able to get to them this evening. We've got a lot of other things that are going on, and I do feel pretty pressed to get to them. I'm going to close out my here. A little bit of a hesitation as I close that out, so we'll see how that goes. So the G20 summit, how did that go? Well, I think it went very swimmingly for some, not so swimmingly for others. There was some controversies wrapping up. The mainstream media didn't take care of a lot of it that I saw. One of the funniest things that I saw was when President Trump, our President of the United States of America, walked off the stage, didn't want to be there, he was done. That takes courage, right? We finally have a president in the Oval Office who is not concerned about the way things look, but rather about the way things are. There were two other side meetings that were supposed to be set up between Putin and Salman, the Saudi prince guy that is over there, and I'm not sure exactly what the ins and the outs are, but both of those meetings were canceled. The one with Putin was canceled, and got a good meeting going on, and hopefully there's some good stuff coming up with China. So I think all in all, it was probably a pretty good summit, and I can't wait to hear the rest of the story once we get through the 41's memorial services and the rest. 19 disagree. What does that mean, Leanna Grace? Do you mean that the G20 19 disagree? Well, perhaps so, but what I'm speaking of more is the solidarity of 19 different countries, 20 now, agreeing to not agree with the United Nations migration policy. They're refusing to sign on to the UN's migration policy, seeing that the migration policy is bringing Islam to the West to overtake it. That's it. Bringing Islam from the East to the West in a flood. I'm going to say that again for those who have ears to hear can hear. They're bringing the East in a flood to overtake the West. There's no other way to look at it. Look what happened in the UK. Look what's going on in Sweden. Sweden people they don't even have their country anymore. They don't even have their country anymore. Which 19? Well, we've got the United States, Hungary, Austria, Bulgaria, Poland, Israel, Estonia, Czechoslovakia, well, the Czech Republic now, Croatia, Slovenia, Slovakia, Russia, China, Korea, both of them, Japan, I love that it's just one Korea, Belgium, Denmark, and Italy, and Australia has signed on now as well to no longer allow this flood of migration to overtake their countries. Make no mistake, the UN Security Council and the UN's Human Rights Council are all made up of human rights abusers. That's what's made up on the Human Rights Council and the UN, and human rights is to me is a code word for getting in the middle of everybody's business. So and we've got people being beheaded in Saudi Arabia. We got people being stoned in Iran, and yet they're pointing the finger and condemning Israel, who does neither stoning nor beheading. Isn't it amazing how the concentrations of power are trying to change the narrative and tell a different story other than what's true? We must have a memory that's longer than a news cycle, people. We have to have a 70-year-long memory. Even those of you who are young, you can research the topics. 70 years, 6 days war. What happened during the 6 days war? We're going to talk about that more on Wednesday as well. Well, I'm going to give you a little preview for those of you who don't want to tune in on Wednesday. During the 6 days war, the surrounding nations of Israel attacked Israel. God was with them, gave them the land, right? Gave them not only the land, but those who attacked lost land. And it's a point of trying to broker peace. Israel has been trying to give that land back But in order to do that, those nations would have to recognize Israel, snooze, they lose, and they're still bellyaching about it. 70 years later, this is the way Islam works, people. This is the way Mohammedans do business. The same as Saul Alinsky. It doesn't matter what you give into, they're going to want something else. That's the very nature of the way that they have culminated their political system. That's just the way it is. You can't put it any other. History tells us. Documents show us. All the way back to, I remember the PLO and all of the rest of that. I remember all the way back to Idi Amin Dada and those tyrants. Yeah. We need to have a memory that is longer than a news cycle. There's a lot more going on the world stage than what the mainstream media will tell you, and the mockingbirds are in the batter box and they're about to strike out. Speaking of someone in the batter box about to strike out, let's talk just a little bit about Maxine Waters. Not a whole lot, just a little bit about Maxine Waters as she comes to the political floor. Got a couple of minutes to squeeze her in there. She's given a presentation that says that she's going to cripple the economy. Once she's in office, now that she's in charge of all the financial stuff, all of the insurance, all of the this, all of the that, now she's decided she's going to take over. She wouldn't even finish the word. She wants to socialize it. And it seems to me that Ms. Maxine Waters thinks that she has the clout and the political ability, although it's against the will of the people, to make this a socialist nation by socializing our business simply because people are poor and they're angry at people who have worked hard to earn their living. Understand, folks, that it doesn't do us any good to be angry at rich people because they're rich. I'm not even upset with Miss Maxine Waters because she has, like, you know, a salary this big and she's a net worth of that big. No politician gets rich in office unless they have dirty dealings. I don't besmirch her gain, but I would like to point out that much of it is ill-gotten gain. And I also want to point out something. She's a very good friend of Mr. Louis Farrakhan, who is, I guess they think they have a Nation of Islam here in the United States of America. It's a bunch of baloney, and maybe the Muslim Brotherhood. She's good friends with him. Yeah. We need to understand that people are associating with those who would like to undermine the integrity and the ability of the United States, our country, to maintain its integrity. Not a cool thing. We have to have memories longer than a news cycle. We have to, or we will fall victim to the Mockingbird media's little bitty chorus that says, you know, that tells us everything except the truth. They weren't talking about political things on the world stage. All they were talking about is Stormy Daniels and all this and that until it blew up in their face and the creepy porn lawyer got caught being illegal in things, and now we don't hear anything about them. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to reveal what's really going on. I just want one gossip after another, and I am sickened in my guts to hear the mainstream media and all of these folks fawn over somebody publicly and on their news media for points when they had nothing good to say about him when he sat in office. The hypocrisy is thick, and it's irritating, and I think it is just disgusting. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about not only the 19 disagree, we're going to talk about the 3+ riots. Well, in fact, we're just going to mention them right here as we go into the break. There are riots happening all across the UK, in Belgium, in Germany, in Spain, other places. Oh, not the UK, pardon me, the EU, the European Union. And it's not about Brexit, and in France, and it's not about gas prices. It's about immigration. It's about them losing their country and their culture to a flood. I say it again, to a flood of migrants. A flood. And they're fleeing nothing now. There's nothing to flee. Why would they leave the country that honors their culture and come here None of them, not many of them, are working. Many of them are on, still on national subsidies, breaking the banks of the nations that are hosting them while they refuse to assimilate into their host nations. It's disgusting to me that we're letting it go on. It's disgusting to me that we haven't seen it until now. It's a wonderment how folks can let it continue. We're going to hear a little bit from Bette Midler here. I like the song, a reminder to herself on some of the things that she's saying. God is watching us from a distance, but God is watching us. Make no mistake, we will be held to account for the decisions that we make. I am Leanna Grace. We're broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. We'll be back on the other side with more MAGA Monday.
From a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight.
God bless the USA and bless our president and bless those who are still in harm's way, ensuring our liberty and our continuation. Yes, I said our continuation, folks, because by now we should have ended with the flood if somebody else had won that election. Make no mistake, they did not expect her to lose, and trying to move forward with their agenda without her sitting in the White House, what are we seeing? A whole bunch of missteps. A whole bunch of misses because they don't have the other clout to back them up. That other clout is being dismissed, uncovered, revealed, and soon to be prosecuted. Let's go ahead and talk about 41 rests. 41 rests. President George Herbert Walker Bush. Bush, a family dynasty head. He was the firstborn son of someone else, and now we have the 43rd president who survived him, no longer in office, who is now, in theory, the head of the family. And Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, went ahead and did some of the eulogy. I watched it this afternoon. Wasn't interesting to note. He mentioned the word CAVU. Now, in aviation terms, CAVU, C-A-V-U, refers to clear, you know, the clear vision unrestricted, right? All of it. He has a clear view. That's an aviation term saying I can see, right? And there's no restriction in my vision. But there's also another CAVU that begins with K, and that refers also to a sacred grove or a sacred forest. And so I find it interesting to note the play on words at that point. And that's all I have to say about that this evening, in a manner of good taste, but not at all hypocritical to the fact that the facts remain the facts, whether somebody is alive or resting. 43 is mourning George Bush Jr., who I often call Shrubbery. You know, he's in mourning for his father. We need to pay some respects to that. Give him time to heal. Whether we like him, whether we don't like him, it is the respectful, civilized, humane way to behave. But it is not necessary to shower anyone with phony accolades. That doesn't necessarily mean that the Bushes don't necessarily deserve accolades. That's not what I'm saying. But during his time in the Oval Office, there wasn't anything good they had to say. They roasted him every day, left at Sunday, all the time. And they have the unmitigated gall to act like they actually believed that he was the best thing since sliced bread. This is the hypocrisy, folks, that we have got to see through and put a stop to. Now, I'm not in any way trying to disparage the family or the memory of it. What I'm talking about is the mockingbird media that is lying through their teeth about the way they think, feel, and treated the 41st president when he was serving the country. Whether he was serving himself or serving the country, that's up for you to decide. My point is the hypocrisy of the media. I find it disgusting. And if they're going to be hypocritical in this, what else are they hypocritical in? Well, for one thing, they're not giving the news. They're not telling us people, we the people, those who watch the media. They haven't mentioned once, only once did CNN mention the riots that are going on in France. I want to mention that just a little bit by the numbers. They mentioned it, that they're rioting because of increased taxes. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. But what did occur is there was a beating. The police were sent to beat, and they did beat a yellow vest. The yellow vest was the yellow vest protesters. And the people did not like it, not even a little bit. The end result is the police and the fire department and now the ambulances are all standing in solidarity with the people against Prime Minister Macron. And I think it's a very good thing. The people will be heard. We've got Marie Le Pen. She's taking some lead and all of the rest. We need to keep our eyes on France, keep our eyes on the European Union. And, of course, we know that Brexit is coming up. Brexit vote is coming up. Now, Brexit was approved through the EU, but there hasn't been enough consensus and agreement of what's going to happen on the British side of it. All right? So we'll have to keep our eyes on that. Remember, all people are players. All people are playing. All the players are in the field, rather, is what I need to say. All the players are in the field. Then we have another step-by-step and by the numbers. 6,000 are in retreat. And what does that mean, Leanna Grace? The caravan south of the border. We have reached a wonderful agreement with the new Mexican president, or the new president of Mexico. An amazing agreement where he's going to try to put a stop to the caravans. And the reason he has to put a stop to the caravans is because if we don't let them in our nation, they're going to sit and stifle and fester in theirs. And that's exactly what's been going on south of the border in Tijuana. They've left a mess of urine, feces, garbage, all kinds of stuff. Disgusting. No respect. Again, none. No respect for the host country. None whatsoever. Coming in, making a mess, making trouble. Tijuana's don't want them anymore. One of them said it's like a war zone. But what we are able to do is affect arrests. We've been able to affect the arrests of hundreds of bad guys. Some of them trying to come across the border illegally, nab them. Some of them trying to do this and that and the other, nabbing them. And it is the decent people in the caravan. Oh, yes, they are there. It is those individuals who are in the caravan that have a shred of decency and want to enter the country for the right reasons in the right way that are blowing the whistle on all these bad guys because they know that it's the bad guys that are keeping them from being able to enter even properly because the list just got long. Now, speaking of the list getting long and playing a little bit of a political ploy, I want to talk about that. You know, everybody lost their freaking mind when Border Patrol used tear gas to protect their agents south of the border. Previous president, the Kenyan who sat as president, didn't have any problem using tear gas. Sometimes used it every day, a lot, at least once a month, while he had troops on the border. And everybody made a great big to-do about 45 putting troops on the border. It's not the first time. So this happened before. It's happened a lot before. Why? Because we get to protect our border. We need a wall with a door and a common sense workable immigration law. We need Congress to do their job. Congress needs to get up off their duffel bags, put their hands to the vote, and get the job done. Rather than relying on mainstream media to put public pressure until someone cracks, this president's not going to crack. We, the people, are not going to crack. We want our nation intact. We do not need, mark my words, the flood to be entering and overtaking us. The end is overrun with a flood. And that's what I have to say about that. Speaking of that, 44. Well, we're going to say a little bit more about the caravan. Actually, no, we're going to go right up to 44. We might only have an hour broadcast. We'll see how this goes. 44, Barack Insane Obama, the Kenyan who sat as president, he who was not born here. I have a copy of his birth certificate for those who doubt. We'll be putting it out very, very soon. He was born as a British, under the British, province of Kenya. Britain was in power over Kenya at that point. And it disappeared. All of his things were sealed. Those things are being unsealed very, very quickly now. But the one thing that really just chaps my hide about what Barry Sotero spouted off is he's spouting off and he's trying to claim credit for the oil boom when it was he himself that cut all the pipelines. He's trying to claim credit for the economic boom when it was he himself that made sure that, or tried to make sure that we wouldn't have any more jobs, right? Good-paying manufacturing jobs, telling us they won't come back. What's he got, a magic wand? Okay, so out pops the magic wand, out pops the burning economy, the blazing economy, and then out jumps this oil boom and all of this stuff, and he wants to take credit. Who does he think he is? When things like that occur and stuff like that comes out of his mouth and I watch him talk, he just reminds me of that, the no good thug who did roof hits, you know, the roof hitting guy who, if you weren't his friend, you had to take a roof hit. He's a control freak. He's a controller. That's just who he is. We know his history, and it'll soon be revealed. But his spouting off of all of his accomplishments when the only thing that he did accomplish was undermine us and divide us, I don't have any respect for him. I wanted to have respect for him. I wanted to be proud that, you know, we were over our darn racial selves and we elected a black president, yada, 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 the whole thing. But those were for the wrong reasons, as we're finding out. Those are the wrong reasons. He's full of taquilla. And I remind everybody on page 181, on the audacity of hope, what is it that he said? That should the political winds change, he will side with Islam. And he sat in the Oval Office and made decisions of consequence. One of the decisions of consequence that he made had to do with the TPP. Yeah, I'm bringing it up because back in 2012, we were talking about it and how dangerous it would be for the economy, how dangerous it would be for our sovereignty to have a Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement where the companies had more say over the liberty of the people than the Constitution does to protect it. These are the things they were trying to put in place. These are the things that were trying to be done. And while he was sitting in office, they were touting about how wonderful it was that you could do, you know, could be mom and have a career and have a this and have a that. And now we've got the spouse, Michelle, saying things about the lean-in concept of women being able to do it all. And she said that shit doesn't work because she forgot where she was. So now it seems as though Michelle Obama is touting the virtues of stay-at-homeness. What is that about? I don't know. I don't even know how to look at it. I don't even know how to look at it. Except to say that there is a flood coming, or at least attempting to rise. And now it seems as though women are supposed to be, and I think it's best if they do too, but the hypocrisy is what gets me, that women can't have it all. Leaning in and doing it all doesn't work. Why the change? Why the change of tone? Why the change of message? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Oh, I have an idea, but I don't have proof. But it seems to me that they're trying to change the agenda, get us closer to those things that Sharia law enforces. I don't think we'll have any of it. It cannot happen. It should not happen. And it best not try to happen on this soil. So we've got ex-presidents going out there running their mouth. What the heck? He's the only past president who feels like he's self-important enough to go out there and run his mouth. That's some kind of a narcissism there. And yet they point the finger at the sitting president. But the narcissist left the White House. The phony baloney dude left the White House. The one-time state senator who no one was able to ever get any information about, not even his school grades. And nobody batted an eye. Nobody really cares. But they're losing their lunch because they can't get a hold of Donald Trump's tax returns. It's nobody's business. And yet everybody's putting it out there as if he doesn't show it, that means he has something to hide. And I'm telling you people that privacy and secrecy are not the same thing. Secrecy is what 44 did. Privacy is what 45's doing. Well, what do I mean by that? There were a lot of things done to this country. This country during the 8 years of Barack insane Obama. I don't like anything about him. Nothing. And I'm not going to pretend that I do. I'm not going to speak graciously about an individual who has no respect for the laws of the land. FISA will bring down the house. It is his corrupt administration that nearly lost us our sovereignty. And Hillary Rodham Clinton was supposed to close the deal and hand us over to the UN. She already handed over 20% of her uranium to Putin. We got to wake up, people. We have to stop pretending. We have to stop pretending and stop worrying about your mother, brother, sister, cousin, neighbor, friend, teacher, whatever has to say about your individual opinion. But I ask everyone within the sound of my voice to please begin forming an individual opinion rather than hearsay, rather than gossip. Now, that's all that's coming out of a lot of the mainstream media. The difference between privacy and secrecy. Secrecy hides the truth to the detriment. Privacy protects the truth from the detriment of others twisting it. And since before and even after and accelerated since President Donald J. Trump took office, it has been one line of BS after the other to stop him in his tracks from doing those things that we the people elected him to do. And how dare they think that they have a right to undermine the will of the people. I'm tired. I'm done. I get angry. And I don't make any bones about it. 44 is no longer in office. Why do people act like he is? Why do they go to him for information when he has absolutely nothing to do with it and no knowledge about what's going on, unless he gets it criminally? He left. He came in criminally. He ran the White House criminally. And he left criminally. He's a criminal. He's been a criminal for a very long time. And I'm not going to pretend that he's not. I don't have to be nice. And I'm tired of people being nice about Barack Hussein Obama. He brought the insanity here. We were healing from racial divisions before he was in office. He's done absolutely nothing for the black community. Nothing. At all. And if we're honest about it, we're going to tell the truth. We've got to be honest about it. It has nothing to do with the color of his skin and everything about the content of his character and the lack thereof. And I don't know a whole lot about Michelle Obama. But what she's saying now, No. No. She doesn't get to do that. She doesn't get to tell the American women how to live their life. She's not an expert. She's a lawyer who lost her license. She's a prior first lady who took away, who gave children in the cafeteria crap to eat. This is not a Muslim nation. It's not. And we need to quit pretending that it is. I don't know any one of my Judaic friends that goes to a public school and tells them, don't serve me pork. Change the whole menu. Nope, they bring the lunch if they need to. That's what we do. So I don't want to hear this, making certain what we didn't do it for anybody else. And they're not any more special than any other person in the United States of America. Mohammedan or not. We have to get over ourselves, people. We have to be able to risk standing alone if we're going to stand for truth. We have to risk being ridiculed and not lose focus. Speaking the truth, make no mistake, speaking the truth is a risky endeavor because most folks don't want to hear it. And as Winston Churchill once said, most people end up occasionally stumbling over the truth. But then they quickly pick themselves up and dust themselves off as if nothing ever happened. People, we know the truth of what's going on in the country. Whether we want to deal with it or not, the truth doesn't change just because we want to deny it, just because we want everybody to feel better. And once again, let me remind you, if we're running our nation and our lives by our feelings, we are one step closer to psychosis. Well, I feel this, so I'm going to do that. Well, I feel emotions are fluid, emotions are fickle, emotions are a reaction to a stimulus. And if we live our lives reacting, nothing's going to get done. And that's what I admire about this president. He doesn't always react. And I think it's killing people. They can't get the rise out of him that they want. They can't get him to go on the defensive as much as they want. They can't get him to behave dysfunctionally. So they call him names, give him slurs, do all this stuff. But he's not acting dysfunctionally. He's not changing his mind and changing his mood to settle the hearts and the minds and make everybody feel better. He knows we're all in this together. I know we're all in this together. QAnons know we're all in this together. And it doesn't matter. This is a worldwide movement, people. It is across the face of the earth. We have French Anons. We have UK Anons. We have all kinds of folks in this absolutely amazing information lay. It's an information war. And we're trying to get the truth to you. Now, when we come back from the other side of the break, let me see if I have this pulled up the way I need to. Nope, I'm not going to go ahead. I'm going to close that out. Might lose just a little bit. Pause while I do it. In that, as we go to the fore. All right, so I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. It's not a tickle your ears kind of an episode. This is by the numbers, people. What is going on? We cannot let the fact that there is a mourning in the country stop us. We cannot let, if I was the one that had died and was laid to rest, I wouldn't want the country to stop for me. I wouldn't want to put the decisions on hold that need to be made just because I bit the dust. Not at all. It sure, it's fine. It's for everybody that's living. But we don't need to stop moving forward with our plans just because somebody died. And that, you say, well, that's kind of harsh, Leanna Grace. No, it's truth. And I learned a long time ago that being nice is not about telling the truth. It doesn't mean you have to be mean. It doesn't mean you have to be cursory. It doesn't mean any of those things. No snarkiness. But being nice is not being honest. Sparing my feelings for the sake of the truth is not kindness at all. And I don't want anybody to do that to me, and I surely in the world am not going to do it to you. We're in it together. And as J.T. Wild put out, where we go one, we go all. I am your host, Leanna Grace, broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. We'll be back on the other side. We'll bring this to the close with 45, The Art of Dealing with Truth. We'll be back.
They call us deplorable, and we love the name. They got the bodies in the dirt and need someone to blame. Got a passion for greed and money to spare. They put the dollars in the coffers and the lies in the air. Well, we go one. We are the patriots, trust the plan, because we have it all and the fate is in our hands. Had a reason to fool us, but we didn't take the bait. They want to take us to hell, but we got guns in the cage. Thank you. They call it a conspiracy. It's the one last lie. We know who they are, and we got them in our sights. Our knowledge is power. They're running for the hills. If the law don't get them, then we the people will. We go all.
Absolutely. Where we go one, we go all. And as General Flynn has put it, those of us who were trying to tell you the truth. You know, 45 has the art of the deal, but he also has the art of dealing with the truth. And I want to say this about that. Understand, people, that our President of the United States, no matter who is sitting in that Oval Office, the President of the United States has more information about what's going on than we the people. The President of the United States has more knowledge about what's going on than the mainstream mockingbird media. They're being told what to say, and they're not reporting news. They're reporting fluff and stuff and twisted opinion. And we the people need to start calling to the carpet, unless, of course, you are one of the ones who like to hear the twisted truth and talk ugly about people behind their back and say things, and then when they get to the face, give them accolades at their time of death. What is that? It is not an easy task to deal with the truth, especially when the truth can be hurtful to feelings, hurtful to a stage, or hurtful to somebody else building it. Now, I want to remind you, before we go to the art of dealing with the truth, I want to remind everybody what it is that Barry Sotero, also renamed under the Muslim name of Barack Hussein Obama, and lied to us, his Christian faith, constantly in the White House. I want to remind everybody about the 22nd clip that we played not a couple of weeks ago about what Obama really had to say when he was in front of the Bilderbergers.
And for the international order that we have worked for generations to build. Ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs. But order and progress can only come when individuals surrender their rights to an all-powerful sovereign.
All-powerful sovereign. Who do you think that might be? And why in the world would he state that if he didn't believe it? Is that not the purpose of undermining our integrity as a nation? Is not the purpose of running up to a nearly $20 trillion worth of debt that can seem to some as inescapable? What was the purpose of his presidency if it wasn't to absolutely undermine us and bring us down? Muslim Brotherhood all through his administration. And they're not loving our Constitution. Trying to take away our weapons, trying to take away our guns, our only means of self-defense from others and government tyranny. What is that about? This is what General Flynn had to say.
And we have an army, okay, as a soldier and as a general, as a retired general, we have an army of digital soldiers. What we are now, what I call them, because this was an insurgency, folks. This was run like an insurgency. This was irregular warfare at its finest in politics. And that story will continue to be told here. But we have what we call citizen journalists. Okay? Because the journalists that we have in our media did a disservice to themselves, actually more than they did to this country. They did a disservice to themselves because they displayed an arrogance that is unprecedented. And so the American people decided to take over the idea of information. They took over the idea of information. And they did it through social media.
And I think we've been doing a very good job. That's the feedback. We are uncovering and reporting the best way that we can the truth of what is going on, because the media, the mainstream media, those who work for the CIA and other alphabet agencies within our own nation and others are not telling you the truth, but they're trying to shape and formulate a narrative that does not fit the facts. Some of them are outright lies. And they call President Donald J. Trump arrogant. No, do not mistake confidence for arrogance. Let's not make that mistake. We have to be confident in our mission. We have to be confident in our goal. We have to be confident as we move forward. Not looking to the left or the right, but knowing what the goal is and not letting the little pettiness that's trying to paw their way into the psyche of our president and family divert him. He's not letting it happen. He's not hitting back in those areas. Why? Because it's not worth his time. That's my assessment. That's about the only read into it that I'm going to do, because I cannot possibly know the heart and mind of the President of the United States any more than anybody else. And yet, consistently, continuously, nonstop, from the mainstream media and others, from news agencies, from The View, from all the rest, are constantly trying to tell us why, what he's thinking, why he's doing what he's doing, all of his ulterior motives. And I want to tell you people what I've learned. When I know the truth of the situation, and I hear a bunch of people talk in the opposite direction, I know what their motives are. When they try to for instance, if someone tries to explain to me what my motives are, the only thing, if I know in my heart what my motives are and I'm true to myself, to thine own self be true, I instantly know what their motives would be in that situation. When somebody is giving me an ulterior motive that doesn't match, the only thing they're doing, their ego is doing, their shadow talk is doing, is revealing their frame of mind and how they see things. And when we know people are lying through their teeth, we have to pay attention to the things that they say, because that forms it. That forms it. That tells us what they're thinking. That tells us what they're doing. That tells us the depths to which they would go to be deceitful. It's an amazing practice to get into, listening. Listening to the ego. Listening to the misspeech. Listening to the accusations of intent. When we know what the truth is, they reveal it. They reveal themselves. So the art of dealing with the truth, as I started to say when we came back from, but nobody has as much information, in theory, certainly those on the wayside and those that, you know, were in mainstream media, they don't have as much information, unless they got it by hook or crook, they don't have as much information on the situation as our president does. And yet they pretend they do. They pretend they know better. They pretend they know more than the elected president. They pretend to know more what's good for the people than the people do, going right into what Obama said.
And for the international order that we have worked for generations to build.
The international order that they have worked for generations to build. That should tell us something. Right? That we are too small-minded. I have too small of a mind. There's no way that I could possibly grasp the ins and the outs of anything to self-govern. Who's he talking to? He didn't have the guts to say that in the Oval Office. If that's the way he really feels, why didn't he say that before he was elected so that we knew who the hell we were electing? Because he would have lost the election if he had told the truth. And yet we have President 45, John J. Trump, telling us the truth, and we're acting like we've never heard it before. He's telling us the truth of things, and we act like we just can't even believe it. Why? Because the mainstream media is spinning it. China's been taking advantage of us for a very long time. They had a spy for 20 years in Feinstein's office. They've been ripping us off and taking our technology. And the one who wouldn't play the game, and that's the way I'm going to put it, the one who refused to play the game was arrested. What are you talking about, Leanna Grace? Well, I'm talking about back in the mid-90s. 97 is after Clinton was in office. Bill Clinton was in office. And they arrested a supposed Chinese spy in Los Alamos. When I'm thinking that that might not have been the case at all, but that's just what I'm thinking. I don't have proof, and I didn't investigate it, so I don't want to talk so much through the air. But we have to pay attention to the rhythm. We have to pay attention of the tempo of things. Who's doing what to who and why? And the first thing we need to know is the truth. They have spent generations building a new economic order. Do not be fooled. NWO does not mean New World Order, although it has been used and slandered in that way. It is a new economic order. It's a German word. And it's socialist. They're trying to bring back the democratic socialists of the Nazi era. I said it. I certainly did. Because the Nazis were democratic socialists. And they used the German Christian movement to piggyback on and build bigotry and prejudice against the Judaic people. They used the Christians against the Jews. We will not let this happen again. We will not. It was sneaking up on us. And now we have Donald J. Trump dealing with the truth, uncovering the things that we don't even want to look at, but we have to. And people are throwing it back like they don't want any change. They don't want it to get better. They don't. Why? Because they've been taught to hate this man. They call him a racist. He's got the Ellis Island Award, sat right next to Rosa Parks and Muhammad Ali when he received it at the same time, same as them. Rosa Parks is a hero. Muhammad Ali was a great boxer. I don't know what he did outside of that, but I remember his rope-a-dope. I watched it. I love the idea of a rope-a-dope. We've got a lot of heroes. Almost everything of use and value that we've got in this nation was invented, and I'm using the brush broadly as I paint this, was invented by African Americans. You know, the plasma bag, African American. A lot of things. Research it. They're part of our history. They're part of our culture. And it's not a they, they're us. And those of Judaic lineage are not a them. They are us. And those from a Middle Eastern background, whether it's a Mohammedan country or not, if they will embrace and assimilate into our culture, they are us. But if they're trying to turn our country into some subset of Islam, it's a them. And it's a flood. For those who have ears to hear, let them hear. It's the flood. And we must be aware. It's not an us and them by our choice. They separate themselves on purpose and with a purpose. Because evidently we're too small-minded to govern ourselves. According to Barry, the Kenyan who sat as president, lied to us every single day. And we ate it like candy. Some of us did. And they're still eating it up like candy. Because they've been taught to hate authority, just as he does. They've been taught to snub the rules, just as he did. Everyone is in this nation is starting to try to find workarounds just like he did. That's not who we are, and that's not who we've ever been, and that's not who I want to become. We're a nation law. We're a nation of laws. And we are in debt. We know that all men are created equal under the law. That doesn't mean that everybody is going to be on the same level. Everyone's given the same opportunities, but not everybody will excel the same. That's human nature. That's the way it is. Not everybody's going to be a rocket scientist. Not everybody's going to be a farmer. Not everybody's going to be a policeman, and not everyone's going to be a welder. Each of us have talents. And we can't be thrown in together in a whole bag of tricks as if we're all the same, because we're not. And just being too small-minded to govern ourselves, that's crap. We've been governing ourselves for 243 years and some, if I did the math right. No. We're being fed a line of crap. People are swallowing hook, line, and sinker. They're being hypocritical on the mainstream media, and people are swooning over lies. They're swooning over lies. Nita, you know, let's bring it up again. Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. Back in the 1950s, they started a campaign. 50s, 60s, somewhere around there. Started a campaign of active measures and undermined our nation. Now, it wasn't just Russia, though. It was the intelligence agencies. And I want us to remember, guys, now remember, we've got 45. He's in the art of dealing with the truth. He knows what the truth is. He's lived through this history. He's older than I am. He remembers a lot more than I do. And I know he doesn't lose sight of much. But when the end of World War II, when we had the Nuremberg trials, 19 Nazis were hanged. All the rest of them were divvied up equally between the Russians and the Americans and integrated into our society to continue what they started. Only behind the scenes, that's our deep state. And to stay in power, they have to have colluders. But because most Americans aren't going to collude, they have to set them up to do so. 41 rests. The rest of us are restless. The alphabet agencies do no longer seem, the majority of those in the alphabet agencies no longer seem to be our friends. We have corruptors within our alphabets. We just do. We have those within embedded in the system that have been working against the interests of the United States of America. You say, well, yeah, land of grace, they can't operate on American soil. No, they can't. So they call up the nearest and dearest other alphabet agencies in another nation to do the dirty work for them, just like 9/11, calling truth truth. We all know it was more than what we were told. We know it. And if we don't know it, we're in denial. What happened to those buildings cannot happen according to the narrative. Cannot. Got buildings disintegrating and yet passports being preserved. Are we stupid? They must think we are, because they're still going on that same narrative.
Saudi Arabia did it.
We don't know that. We don't know that. That's what we've been told. But we also know directly we were landed with this.
And for the international order that we have worked for generations to build. Ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs. That order and progress can only come when individuals surrender their rights to an all-powerful sovereign.
Are we going to surrender our rights to an all-powerful sovereign, people, the United States of America, we the people, and those of us who are allies? UK doesn't want to do it. Do they? Well, they have a sovereign, but she's not all powerful anymore. There's a moderation. We have elected officials. We don't have kings and queens in this nation. Sometimes they mention noblesse oblige, as was mentioned today during their funeral services. There's no nobility in this nation, and as soon as any article of nobility is transferred onto an individual, according to the Constitution, they are your no longer citizens. They should be stripped of their citizenship. There's no royalty in this country. There's no noblesse oblige. There is noblesse oblige. It doesn't exist. There's no nobility here. We are sovereigns, and the government are our servants. That's the way it was set up. That's the way that it works well. And that's the way I want to keep it. Most of us do. and that Constitution protects us and limits government. And 45 is now dealing with the art of the deal of dealing with truth, art of dealing with truth, the hard truth that we don't know and we don't want to know necessarily. We don't want to find out those people that were in authority that we trusted did us wrong. That's one of the hardest things to deal with. That's a mind twister. But we also have to remember that it's a lot easier to fool people than to convince them that they've been fooled or lied to, especially when we've been given all the ammunition to become emotionally invested in individuals and outcomes. And we've been taught to idolize those that we see in the media. We idolize those on the big screen. Wow, I wish I could be there and get that much attention. People, they're people just like us. They burp when they drink soda, and it comes out the other end when they eat cabbage. We all fart. We all put our pants on the same way. Our feet get stinky. Everybody's feet get stinky when they get dirty and sweaty. Our pits are going to stink if we don't have deodorant on. Not anyone who's been elected to a position of leadership in our government is any different. And we it would probably serve us best if we stopped idolizing them and stop allowing them to put us in camps. And I'm not talking FEMA, although that's happening. We'll talk about that on Wednesday. I'm talking about the left and the right camp, the blue and the red camp. There's only right and wrong is all I see. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it accurate? Is it true? And then we go from there. The truth is China has not dealt with this well. And the truth is they've been allowed and encouraged to not deal with this well. We just cut aid to Pakistan because they want death to America, burning the flags. Why are we sending them aid? All of these nations that we've been helping out, and now they're coming and cussing at us. Why are we helping them anymore? Because I want to tell you, if you were a friend of mine and you and I had an arrangement that I would give you $50 a month just because you needed the help of $50 a month, and then I find out that you're bad-mouthing me, do you think I'm going to support you anymore? What's the difference on a national scale? I submit to you that there is none. Why are we supporting those who claim, those who openly hate us? We've got Mr. Abe, President Abe over in Japan. He says, yep, we've been getting away with it for a very long time. Here's your money, sir. Not to president, but to us. Here, America, here's what we owe you. Well, we can't pay back pay, but here we'll pay going forward. That's cooperation. That's honor. That's respect. And we have a world-class businessman with absolutely impeccable relationships globally. And he's blessing us by using those relationships and those connections to help get our country back. But people act like they're being insulted. But there's no insult like the truth. We're on dangerous ground right now. We're on a cusp. We have to make decisions. It won't be long now, and the FISA applications will be declassified. They'll be unredacted and completely declassified. And within those documents, we're going to see who the players are. We're going to see who it is that undermined us, and I think what we're going to find out is that the Obama administration undermined us because he wanted to pass the ball to Hillary. Why? Because they can control her. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And they're calling names at 45, at Donald J. Trump, calling him racist and calling all this, but who was her mentor except the high dragon of the KKK? That was her minder, her controller, and her mentor. By her words, her mentor. Racism doesn't have to live in this country unless we pump it up. Most of us you know, one conversation that I don't like to have with people say, well, I don't see color. I do. You have to be blind not to see the differences in the color of the skin. It's obvious that there's color, and it looks pretty good. But we don't have to buy into the baloney. We don't have to buy into the stereotypes. We don't have to buy into the prejudices. We don't have to buy into the racism. Recognizing a race isn't the same as being against a race. Now, it's one thing to not like an individual, but it takes a whole lot of destructive energy to hate a whole race. And those who are racist will be crushed under the weight of their own hate. And what I've seen a lot of in this country is people becoming those things that they say that they hate. We've got to let go of our hate people. Because if you stand there and you say, well, I hate this president, whatever view, negative view that you have, justified or otherwise, is what you'll become. We become what we hate. And whether your view of the sitting president is accurate or not is immaterial. It is the picture that you hold in your heart and in your mind about this individual. If you hate that picture that you've created in your mind about an individual, you will guaranteed become what you hate. That's the way of things. Because there's no other way for us to learn except that we walk in somebody else's shoes. But we do become what we hate. So mind your thoughts, mind your heart, find resolution. Our country cannot afford any more hate. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Now, I do want to say also, and I've got this headline here that we've got from the New York Post, for those of you who like to come from these great big papers, you know, one of the sayings in G.I. Jane is nothing's final till you see it on CNN. You know, and that's not right at all. But the New York Post has a report that fresh evidence that the Russia scandal is a Team Obama operation. We've known that all along. We've been saying that all along. And I've been talking to some other folks who have been associated with some of the Q boards, that little phenomenon going on. There's a lot of anti-Q stuff going on. They're doing a lot of trouble. It's just a LARP. They're spending a lot of resources trying to interrupt it. But a lot of folks are getting antsy and say, why don't we have arrests? Why don't we have this? Why don't we have that? Timing is everything. And we have to move at the speed of law. Because if we don't move at the speed of law and we choose to move at the speed of our passions, something's going to get missed and we're not going to get it done. There are a lot of intricacies. A lot of traps, a lot of this and a lot of that. You can see it in Cohen. You can see it in all of these other phony baloney prosecutions that are coming out of the Mueller investigation. The unending, never-ending look for something that doesn't exist. And I just want to say this little thing about that before we start bringing it to a close, and that is under 2.5 years, 2 years plus, investigation having their head so far up the bucket of the president or so far into the business of the president. 2 years. We have either the cleanest person in the White House or the most inept investigative team that ever existed. I don't think number two is the truth. And I think that this country is so not used to, so unaccustomed to honest and truthful dealings that they don't recognize it when they see it. There's got to be something wrong. Well, let's do this. He'll do something wrong. Nope. He's got to do this wrong. He's got to do that wrong. We have an honorable man, maybe not perfect, but someone who intends honor to our nation. Certainly not to subjugate it under a sovereign, as the Kenyan who sat there did. We have decisions to make. We have more truth to reveal. And it will not be easy. But sometimes doing the right thing is the hardest thing we can do. We have to face ourselves, face our errors, take responsibility, and decide to make changes. I am your host, Leanna Grace. I've been broadcasting live from the high mountain deserts. It's been my honor and privilege to bring you the message tonight, bring you this broadcast. We may go ahead and be on every night this week. I'm not sure. We're still praying about that, see how my energy level is and see how it goes forward. I'm excited and anxious for the truth that's coming out. Wonder how the public's going to handle it. Do get some cooling off time for the respect of the family who just lost a loved one. But it's time to stop pretending. Until next time, folks, I'm reminding you to, as always, watch for signposts, connect the dots, find the path, live in love, and we are going to have to forgive. Until next time, good night.